At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Let's go!
Today on the Unafraid Show, we've already done the Big 10, the Big 12, but now it's time to rank the SEC from 16-1 based upon who will win the most conference games over the next 5 years. And we went down to ASU to talk to Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham. And this is a hell of an interview. You don't want to miss this. And we got to talk about Art Manning not taking the money to be in NCAA 25. And of course, we got to talk about the man himself, LeBron James, passing 40,000 points. This is the Unafraid Show. Make sure that you like, subscribe, get notifications, and most importantly, share so we can keep growing and bringing you dope content. It's time for the show. Let's go. The mighty SEC now has 16 teams after poaching two of the biggest brands in college football in Texas and Oklahoma. And with the expansion of the college football playoffs, you can expect that at least a fourth of the conference is going to be represented every single year. And hell, even some years, you might see five teams. I've already ranked the Big 10 and the Big 12 by how many conference games that they're going to win over the next 5 years. So we're going to do the same thing with your favorite conference. It just means more with the Southeastern Conference. And we'll judge by the comment section to see if it really does mean more. Number 16, the Vanderbilt Commodores. Now, they are the Washington Generals of the SEC. Now, they've averaged just one conference win per year over the last seven seasons. That ain't good. And outside of a 3-year run with James Franklin at the helm, this team has been non-competitive. It is interesting, though, that Clark Lee put together a top 40 recruiting and transfer class. Now, it's still ranked dead last in the SEC. So even though it was good by SEC standards, not so much. And I think it's fair to assume that they're going to stay as this conference footstool. On to number 15, Mississippi State. I love Mississippi State. I had a great game against them boys. But anyways, I thought the Bulldogs were on the right track. And what happened with Mike Leach is absolutely terrible. Because Zach Arnett probably should have found a way to run the air raid with that roster that was built for the air raid. And because he didn't, Mississippi State remains under rebuild mode under Jeff Levy. And I think this offense could get cooking, but one winning season in the SEC in this millennium makes me think that even if he does, the ceiling for the Bulldogs is a 4-4 record in the conference. Number 14. Sam Pittman and the Arkansas faithful are being desperate enough to welcome Bobby Petrino back to Fayetteville to run the offense. That's the most WWE storyline in all of college football. That would literally be like hiring Arkansas native Bill Clinton to run Joe Biden's White House intern program. You ain't gonna do that. But with only one winning season in the last 12 years since Petrino left, I get it. The 2024 recruiting class is surprisingly good, and maybe Petrino can get this offense back on track and save Sam Pittman's job. But I don't see them leapfrogging any of the other schools on this list in the process. Number 13, South Carolina. I like Shane Beamer. And the Gamecocks have first-round talent, and the fan energy at William Bryce Stadium is crazy. So why do I have South Carolina so low on this list? Well, they're 14 games under 500 in the SEC since Steve Spurrier resigned 10 years ago. And they've only put together a top 50 scoring offense once in the last decade while finishing lower than 90th in over half of those seasons. Now, I don't normally recommend teams shift to the air raid unless they're at a significant talent deficiency, but South Carolina, they need to do something because what they're doing is not working, and that's the definition of insanity because the whole conference is leveling up right now. They're setting scoring records, and to compete with the Blue Bloods, you can't be stealing games 27-17 anymore. Number 12, Florida. Billy Napier is a good coach. In fact, he actually might be a great one. But college football is not just about coaching and recruiting anymore. It's about fundraising, wrangling boosters, hiring the right staff, and babysitting your talent in a way that keeps them from bolting to a better option. Now, the entire college football loving country is convinced that Napier is on his last chance, and Florida's schedule next year is an absolute gauntlet. And if the unfortunate happens and they do fire Napier, as most people expect could happen, they're not going to hire somebody who comes in and has instant success. That's actually why I have Florida 12th on this list, because even if by 2028 the Gators are back in the college football playoff hunt, it would have been 3 or 4 years of a grind to build back up to where they belong. But hey, if Arkansas can bring Bobby Petrino back, maybe Florida can run it back with Urban Meyer and get back to the mountaintop even quicker. Number 11, Kentucky. Mark Stoops flirted with leaving last season, and if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'm glad he didn't, because Stoops has raised the floor for the Wildcats to be consistently relevant and a destination for high-level quarterback transfers. But the fact remains that national relevance doesn't mean SEC success, because Kentucky has been ranked in the AP poll in 5 of the last 6 seasons, but they're 4 games under 500 in conference play over that time. Now, Kentucky's best shot at the college football playoff appearance is this year in 2024. And if they can make that happen, then maybe we'll find ourselves in a new era of Kentucky as one of the country's premier two-sport schools. But if they can't level up with this stacked transfer class, I'm afraid it's never gonna happen. Number 10, Missouri. Following an 11-win season with what might be a top-5 defensive recruiting and portal class in the entire country, and you have Brady Cook returning, if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm thinking that we have a shot at the Natty this year. Hell, if Gary Pinkel knew how to defend the run, Missouri might have had multiple SEC titles and a national championship 10 years ago. This is a sleeping giant of a school, and maybe it's waking up. But I hesitate to throw my full endorsement behind Eli Drinkwitz until I see him stack 2 successful years back to back. Number 9, Texas A&M. They say that money can't buy happiness, but that's not going to stop the Aggie boosters from trying. They funded the sport's first $100 million coach. They funded the greatest recruiting class in the rankings era. And then they funded that coach's buyout for not being able to turn that recruiting class into anything meaningful. And now Mike Elko is back in the fold. And that's a hell of a football coach. He knows the landscape, he knows the culture, and he's got the roster that's more than capable of making a run at the Aggies' first 7-plus win run in the SEC in a non-COVID shortened season since 98. My one concern about this school is the thing that has seemingly kept them from being a powerhouse all these years. Can anybody inside and outside the program row the boat in the same direction? Because they be... Number 8, Auburn. Say what you want about Hugh Freeze, but the man can win football games. Auburn has 3 undefeated seasons in the last 30 years. And now we're starting a new chapter of SEC football that does not include Nick Saban. You know the Tiger faithful has convinced themselves that they're all the way back, especially with Saban going, we got a shot. An incoming freshman quarterback, Walker White, is coming into the program alongside two of the country's most electric prep wideouts in Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson. And that trio might end up reminding rival coach Kalen DeBoer of what he built out in Washington with them boys with Penix and Adunze and McMillan. And I'm willing to say that at least once over the next 5 years, we'll see Auburn in the college football playoff. Number 7, Tennessee. The Vols came for the NCAA, and now they're coming for the SEC. And Tennessee is honestly past due. It's going to come down to whether Nico Ealamalava is the real deal, but I could see this being a top 15 offense over the next 2 seasons. And can we talk about how crazy it is that Josh Heupel went into Alabama and pulled maybe the best high school edge rusher in Jordan Ross to Knoxville? So why 7th and not higher? Well, because the SEC is so stacked that even if Tennessee does put together consecutive winning seasons in the league, something that they haven't done since 07, I don't think that it'll be enough to overcome the teams ahead of them, but I will say that this team has top 4 potential. Number 6, this is going to scare some people, Alabama. The Crimson Tide went from the greatest coach of all time to what might be the best in-game head coach in America. And it doesn't matter. They're still going to fall off. Oh, the entire country is going to have its eyes on Tuscaloosa to see how the fan base handles taking a step back. And our expectation is that y'all are going to tear each other to pieces. Are you going to prove us wrong, though? Can Bama fans give Kalen DeBoer 3 years to figure out the offense, the recruiting, learn the landscape down there in the South? Hell, can you even give the man 2 years? We'll see. But luckily for the program, they could fall off a cliff and go 5-3 in the conference every single year, which still is a lot better than I expect from 10 other teams in the SEC and is going to put them in the college football playoff hunt. Number 5, Oklahoma. I know SEC fans aren't going to love that I have the Big 12 defectors this high on my list, but just because you think Oklahoma got fat off or flyover country cupcake teams, but that doesn't change the fact that Oklahoma football is a tried and true blue blood that out-recruited most SEC schools on a consistent basis over the past couple of decades. Brent Venables, to me, is a top 5 coach in the league before he's even set foot in it. And in 2023, the recruiting class that's already been in Norman for a year can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country. If Jackson Arnold is as good as Sooner fans believe he'll be, Oklahoma might do something crazy and challenge for SEC supremacy in year 1. Number 4, LSU. The Tigers have all the money. They have Brian Kelly. They have the juice of turning Jaden Daniels from average to out of this world. They could take over the SEC and nobody would be surprised. Even though Joe Burrow once proved otherwise, defense is still the thing that wins championships. In 3 of the last 4 seasons, the Tigers' defense has been objectively awful. Hiring Blake Baker from Missouri might be the answer, but if it isn't, it's going to be hard for LSU to take a place atop the conference. And now we're to the top of the SEC. At number 3, we have Texas. The Steve Sarkisian just got a shiny new contract, and I think that the Texas boosters have hitched their wagon to the right man. But they better hope that an NFL team doesn't come knocking and see that buyout as more of a challenge than a deterrent. And the thing that I like about Texas is that the moment they knew that they were headed to the SEC, they made sure that they were invested in SEC-level trench players. Now this year, though, they have just 3 incoming offensive linemen in the 2024 recruiting class, but their current roster is stacked. because Sark usually lands the top five quarterback year in and year out, and I think that they'll build off of last year's college football playoff appearance. Now, they might not win the SEC right out the gate, but I definitely think that they'll be at the finish line more often than not over the next 5 years. Number two, Ole Miss. Now, I know you think I'm crazy for this one, but just like Penn State and the Big Ten, I believe that some teams have been on the verge of something special in recent years and were built for the future, and the future is right now. Because Lane Kiffin isn't afraid of the portal. In fact, he's gotten the number one portal class in the country headed into 2024. Kiffin is 16-6 in the SEC in the last 3 years against everybody not named Nick Saban. And now that Nick Saban has moved on, I feel like there's only one coach standing in Kiffin's way, and that's Kirby Smart. He's got a good defensive coordinator in Pete Golding, and Jackson Dart might be a Heisman contender in 2024, and I'm predicting the age of the Rebel is upon us. And I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't at least make 3 college football playoff appearances in the next 5 years with the expanded playoff. And now number one. Everybody knew that they were going to be number one, because if they weren't, this would be a joke of a list. Because if Kirby Smart didn't leave Athens for Alabama last season, I don't think anything is going to make this man give up the throne. And if you let Georgia into last year's college football playoff, we might be talking about a three-peat. And sometimes when a team has success, you see some complacency set in, and it almost always shows up in the form of a recruiting dip. Maybe that's because assistants get hired away or because the staff just relaxes a little bit. And that ain't the Bulldog way, because after winning their first natty in 40 years, the last 3 high school recruiting signing classes have been number 3, number 2, and number 1. On paper, they bring back the top offense and defense in the SEC into next season. And if they beat Clemson as bad as I think they will on August 31st, they might be in a runaway train mode come conference play. We just spent a lot of time talking about the SEC, where it just matters more, where there's a man where it matters to a lot out west, and that is head coach Kenny Dillingham over at Arizona State. So he's
at Bet365. We don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Up next. And we're joined by Kenny Dillingham, head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. Kenny, thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, so you are now 33 years old. Do you realize that you are a head coach in college football at 33? At 31 years old. At what point in time did you figure out this is what I want to do?
So I was a senior in high school going into my senior year, and I tore my ACL, tried to play without it. I was already unathletic. Then my coach was like, why don't you just start coaching? Charlie Rego is now a special teams coordinator. And then I started coaching. I just fell in love with the impact you could make. And then I love competing. So the combination of you can make an impact on people outside and then the competition, it's a chess match combined with relationships, which is such an interesting part of the sport. So I just fell in love and thought I could do it.
Do you believe that you being young is an advantage in terms of recruiting, being ready for
all the changes that are happening with NIL, like you said, you've been around that. Do you think your youth is helping you in that area?
People could say youth. I think just I'm not stubborn. I don't whether I'm 32, 33, or there's a 55-year-old coach, 65-year-old coach, you just have to be willing to adapt. And it's no different than business. I compare football and college athletics to a technology company. Technology doubles and triples yearly.
Yeah.
And it changes constantly. And so that's what college athletics is it's constantly changing. So whether you're young or old, you got to be willing to adapt. And then you got to know your strengths. Like, my strengths is I can relate to kids and I understand what they're like. My weaknesses is I got to create boundaries because I am closer in age. So I earn that respect and that trust with the guys. So there's strengths and weaknesses. Do I think everybody? You just got to be willing to adapt.
I noticed in my playing career that there were some offensive coordinators that tried to fit players to their system. And I've noticed that you, throughout your career, have actually done the opposite, which has had tremendous success. Where did you learn that philosophy from, and how has that been successful for you?
I would say growing up, I coached youth football about 15 minutes from here,
yeah.
High school football. You don't get to pick your guys. You get them and you adapt.
Yeah.
So I think those experiences, having to just take whoever you have and put them in the best position to succeed. And then you can't be scared to do things that are not normal. You can't be scared to do something and worry about what somebody's gonna say about you. You have to just do what you think is best and have belief and passion about it. So I would say my history, just high school coach, coaching 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I coached youth dodgeball out here. All of that goes into the philosophy that you do what it takes to try to win. And that's the goal.
So you are, an Arizona guy, and I remember when you were interviewing for the Arizona State job and your name started to come up, and then when you finally got the job, the passion in which you talked about Arizona State, it seemed like it really mattered to you. So, when did Arizona State, get into your bones?
Yeah, I grew up coming to games. So I grew up 15 minutes from here, the high school I coached at, and I went to 20 minutes from here. I went here, my wife went here, my brother-in-law went here, my sister went here, my other brother went here, my father-in-law went here. This was the parking lot that I grew up in.
Yeah.
So it was always where I wanted to be. I was at Florida State with Jordan Travis and Mackenzie Milton. They said, "What's your dream job?" "I want to be the head coach at Arizona State." And people look at me like, "Why Arizona State?" And I'm like, "Because it means more than just football here."
Yeah.
I have family here. I grew up here. I used to watch it.
Yeah.
That means more to me.
Yeah.
So it's just something that I've always wanted to have the opportunity to do.
Every coach, when they get to a school, they have the press conference. They're like, "Yo, I'm so excited to be here. I love it here," and all of those things. But you really mean it. And this is your dream job. So when you were at Oregon and then you start realizing, whether it's through your agent or whoever contacted you, "Oh my God, this might be a possibility." What was that part of where was that in the timeline, and how was that mentally still trying to focus on, that job, but still being, "Oh my God, my dream is within reach"?
To be honest, it just motivated me more. I think the job opened up week 3 of the season. If I just do the best I can do for 8 weeks, I can force them to hire me. If I make this the best offense that people can see, they're not going to have a choice. So I poured everything I had into that football team because I knew it wasn't going and being political. It was scoring and winning.
Yeah.
That was my only avenue. So I doubled down on everything I was doing at Oregon at the time to say, "Okay, this is my shot. This is it." My mindset was not, "Please hire me," or "I hope they do." It was, "They're not going to have a choice."
Yeah.
And that's how I've always attacked things are force people to do what you want. By just doing such a good job and pouring into what you're doing, they don't have a choice.
So recruiting has taken a different turn out in the world because of NIL and everything else. What is your philosophy on high school recruiting versus portal at this point in time? Well, now where your roster is and where you hope it'll be in a year, 2 years from now?
Yeah, so obviously I'm all about roster balance of ages. So when you look at a roster of, let's say, five years of ages, including redshirt seniors, okay, you should have 15 to 20 kids in each class. Let's say 15, just keep the number simple. So I want to keep that number balanced amongst the classes. So if that means that we showed up and we had no upperclassmen, we were missing juniors and seniors, and we have five of them, we need to go to the portal to sign juniors and seniors.
Okay.
And we had to do that because we were lacking the upper class. Because without the upper class, you lack a little bit of leadership. So you need that roster balance still. On the contrary, people try to put portal kids in a box as if it's a bad thing. Like, yeah. Oh, are you going to stop recruiting high school? It's just the portal. And it drives me nuts, because what if that kid, we signed Cole Martin, who was a top 200 player, four-star from right up the road,
yep.
Who's a freshman.
Yeah.
He's a freshman, but he's rolled as a portal kid.
Yeah.
To me, that's a freshman.
Yeah, that's a freshman.
That's filling that class.
Okay.
So I look at it, I don't care portal, high school, none of that matters to me. It's where is your age versus where do you fit in terms of what ages of kids on the roster do we need? Now that we're balanced, I would hope that, you know, we're in the portal gets us above and beyond, whereas the portal is difference makers, not depth.
Yeah. When did you know that Bo Nix was going to be good? Because, well, first, did you have a hand in getting him up there to Eugene? And did you know that he was going to be that good?
Yeah, definitely had a hand in getting him to Eugene. Obviously, we had a great relationship. I mean, he was the SEC newcomer of the year at Auburn, the 1 year we were together at Auburn. And I knew he was good the moment he stepped on campus.
Yeah.
At Auburn. I knew he was a special player, special mindset. Sometimes timing and things work out and everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason got him to Eugene. But I knew pretty early that this was a special player because he had a special mindset.
So then he didn't have a ton of success at Auburn. Like he had flashes and moments. But at what point in time, like when you guys got there to Eugene, what changed?
He's so hard on himself because he's a perfectionist. If I told him that his pinky's not strong and that's why his ball isn't a spiral every time, you're going to see that dude with like pinky weights. That's how he operates. That's his mindset. So to me, it was really less the physical and the football stuff, and it was more getting him to be happy, relax, and play the game.
Yeah,
like free. And not have that pressure on him, which he can handle pressure, but it was more like, be comfortable in yourself. You're super talented. And, you know, the more comfortable he got and the more freedom he had in the offense, because he's so smart, if you put handcuffs on a kid like that and he takes the snap and he's like, I don't like this play. I don't like the answer I have here, but I have to do it. Now you're uncomfortable. You're thinking about the wrong thing. It was, no, take the handcuffs off of him. I trust you. Go win football games. I'm going to teach you so we're on the same page. If you see this look, check to this. If you see this look, check to that. I don't give a crap. As long as you can tell me after the play why you did it and there was a reason, go play the game.
Yeah.
And he did that. And I think that's really what set him, I say, free, is he played the game free and he had fun because of it.
That makes sense. Now, tell me about Jordan Travis, because just like Bo Nix, early in his career, had some struggles and, you know, fans weren't great with him. But now he's a legend at Florida State. What was that time with him like?
It was awesome. I mean, the first meeting we had, he said, I'm not a quarterback, but I can play wide out or running back or whatever. That was my first meeting with him. I'm like, golly, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That was my thought. And then I went and saw him throw out there. I wasn't even coaching it. I just watched him throw, and I'm like, damn, this kid, like, has some tools.
Yeah.
And you know, just working with him, he just needed people to believe in him. I'm not some magical coach. Like, I don't, whoa, Kenny Dillingham coaches you. You become great. That's not how that works. But I am good with people. And they're both different people. And it's like, okay, well, what? Jordan just needed somebody to believe in him passionately and show it. Because he had doubts that how good he was.
Yeah.
Because just the college profession, the dynamics tear it out of you. So, I mean, there was a time where I couldn't convince him he was good. So I gave up, and I told all of our quarterbacks to start booing him every throw, an individual. So instead of saying how great he is, we flipped it on him. We're like, you suck. You suck. You can't throw. Good luck. Nice miss. Like, Every day you can ask Chubba Purdy, Tate Rodemaker. I mandated it. Every throw, tell him how bad he sucks. Because I wanted him to realize, like, would we really tell a player he sucked that he sucked?
Yeah.
No. So, and he finally was, it became a game. But it was all to show him, like, man, you got this. You're a special talent. You got it. And it finally clicked. And when it clicked for him, I got out of his way. Get out of here. When it clicks for a quarterback, I run the opposite direction. I educate him, but I get out of the way. Let him roll.
Man, that's dope. So you talked about the things that you can do better. How can the city, the fan base be more involved and help you do a better job?
I would say butts in seats and support the program any way you can through NIL. Those are the two ways we get good players. You get good players from atmospheres, right? From a fan perspective, the atmosphere you create, does it sold out? When they come in, is that thing rocking, right? And then can you get in the game financially through NIL? So that's what I would ask is, if you can't give to NIL, just get in the stadium. Show up. Be really loud. Know a kid's name and chant his name when he walks into the stadium because you're recruiting him.
Yeah.
Like, know it somehow. Know it. Study it. Study it before the game and be like, oh, that guy. Study it before the game, and if you run into him, say, oh, I remember you. I'll never forget a kid I was recruiting, went to go visit another school. I was here at the time, five-star kid, and he goes, man, I love it here, coach, but when I went and visited school blank, there was like five random people that walked up to me, knew my name, and shook my hand. Yeah. I felt like a celebrity. Like, that is what this valley can do if everybody just does your part. If you can give money, give money. If you can buy tickets, buy tickets. If you can't do either, learn people's name and walk around Mill Avenue when it's recruiting season, or go to a high school game out here with a baller and go say, go to ASU, random dude. That has an impact. Everybody can help. Find your avenue and maximize it. Let's go!
Where's my 11%, man? Where's my 11%? Now we're back with head coach of Arizona State, Kenny Dillingham, for Reister or Wrong. Am I Reister or am I wrong? You, Kenny Dillingham, if Arizona State wins all their games, the best thing that could possibly happen is Arizona win all their games, Arizona State win all their games, and then the Territorial Cup is for all tomorrow.
Reister, all day long. I want that game to be worth everything. That's it.
Ooh, see, that's fascinating because a lot of people don't. They're like, I want the rival to go 0-12 every year.
I don't live through spite. I worry about me. And I want to play the biggest games on the biggest stages. So if that means that game means more and it's bigger, that's what I want.
That's, you know, that's Big D energy right there. am I Reister or am I wrong? So Guaro is better than Chaparral.
You are definitely wrong. C's up for those of you in Chaptown. That's my alma mater. Now, Jason Munns, our tight ends coach, used to be the head coach at Saguaro, so he'll completely disagree, but definitely Chaptown.
Okay. Am I Reister or am I wrong? Because Dan Lanning said that that Ty Graham gave the best ass-chewing out of anybody.
100% right. 100% right, sir. Todd got after it. Todd was a good football coach, but Todd got after it.
Yeah. Am I Reister or am I wrong? Memphis has the best food out of any city that you've coached in.
100% right, sir. Here's pretty close. Different kind of food, though. That barbecue out there, that hits different.
Am I Reister or am I wrong? The heat in Arizona is a bigger factor on game day than the humidity down in the south at Florida State.
I would say that's a tough one. I would say Reister only because most of the weather in that league is similar, whereas the weather out here is different.
Arizona State is by far the best place to be in the Four Corners.
Oh. Phoenix, Arizona. Ask people where they retire. 100% Reister. I'm a homer too. This is the best place. I mean, you walked outside today, it was 68 and sunny.
It was nice.
Yes, now you in a short sleeve shirt out here in the wintertime.
Well, I live in LA, so it's
good too.
Yeah, it's actually cooler out there right now. It was raining before I left. But you guys, thank you so much. You guys, he's Kenny Dillingham. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time. And go Devils.
Go Devils, baby.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Kenny Dillingham had all the energy, man. You could feel it. It was infectious. But now it's time to let that sink in. We need to talk about the most anticipated sports video game of all time and how ridiculous it is that one of the most anticipated college football players of all time has refused to participate in its release. Art Manning, what are you doing, buddy? This week, Anwar Richardson reported that Texas backup quarterback Art Manning was refusing to sign over his rights to use his likeness in the upcoming release of EA Sports NCAA 25. And what was the reason for that? Anwar Richardson's sources say it's because he's focused on playing football on the field. Too focused to sign an electronic PDF 5 months before the season starts? Is he implying that anybody that does sign their likeness over in exchange for $600 and a free copy of the game is unfocused? Come on, bruh. Especially when he's one of the few players that could have negotiated a deal significantly over the $600. Look, I'm aware that this is Art Manning's decision, and I am well aware that a grown man complaining about a kid's decision not to appear in a video game is as bad of a look as choosing not to appear in a video game in the first place. But my issue isn't with Art's decision, it's with the reason. And if Art wants more money, just say so. If the Manning family lawyer doesn't like the way the blanket deal is structured, just say so. You actually might help other players along the way. But the idea that the nephew of football superstars Peyton and Eli Manning, whose on-field success was never derailed or called into question by their appearances in MasterCard or DirecTV commercials, that he can have his focus derailed by a pixelated version of himself? Man, get the hell out of here. There has to be another reason. And without that actual reason, we're left to speculate. Does Art Manning hate fun, hate video games? Are the Mannings planning their own competing football game? Does the Manning family have a grand plan for his NIL? I'm not mad if they do. Or does he think he's going to be able to formulate some sort of Michael Jordan plan, who famously refused to grant his use of his likeness in video games until well after he retired? And does he not realize that a lot of kids actually hated on Mike for making himself unnecessarily inaccessible when he had all the money in the world at his disposal? Because I hated it. You just wanted to play with Michael Jordan. And people are gonna want to play with Art Manning, because at the end of the day, as much as I like video games and as excited as I am about the return of NCAA, this game is about exposing the kids to the magic of college football. And kids didn't understand that Michael Jordan didn't want his likeness included in any substandard games. They thought he was just greedy. And if they didn't understand that, they're definitely not gonna understand Art's reasoning. Because Art, I think the kid is a good kid, and he's only got one corporate NIL deal that is publicly known, and that's an exclusive trading card partnership with Panini America, which included a charitable auction that raised over $100,000 for various hospitals. Imagine the good that Art could do taking 8 seconds of his time to sign his personal autographed copy of NCAA and auctioning it off to charity. But instead, He's too focused. Gotta stay locked in 24/7 in Austin. You can't be out here taking time away from the playbook by letting kids use you in franchise mode and making sure that Texas is back. I mean, NIL partnerships didn't stop Bijan Robinson from becoming Texas football yards per carry leader. And multiple NIL partnerships haven't kept Quinn Ewers from successfully leading the Longhorns as their actual starting quarterback. But maybe that lack of focus is what kept Bijan from going top five in the draft. Maybe that lack of focus is what kept Texas from beating Washington in the college football playoff. Maybe the whole Texas team needs to opt out. You know, to focus. I kid. But at the end of the day, Art Manning is in control of how his name, image, and likeness is used. And if he can handle carrying around the Manning last name, he can definitely handle the criticism that comes with opting out of a video game. But if he thought inclusion was a distraction, it's nothing compared to the distraction created by excluding himself and letting the narrative be that he's more locked in than everybody around him. But maybe Art is playing the long game. Maybe his absence will make the heart grow fonder and EA will put him on the cover of NCAA 26 just to get him to agree to participate. Or maybe Texas fans are just going to have to take on the SEC gauntlet with unnamed QB16 the way we used to have to play with shooting guard 23. Let that sink in. Art Manning is going to receive a lot of hate for not being in the game, but why did people hate LeBron passing 40,000 points so much? We need to address the two main points that the lame LeBron James haters made after he became the first and likely only player to ever cross the 40,000 point, 10,000 rebound, and 10,000 assist milestone. I heard all y'all haters this week talking about the same old, it's a longevity milestone, and the modern NBA is just stat padding, and we shouldn't be celebrating milestones that happen in a loss. The NBA scoring average was lower in LeBron's first 10 plus years than it was for Michael Jordan. So what you got to say about that? But now back to my two main takeaways. First of all, every milestone is a longevity milestone. And if durability and endurance were such easy attributes to master, why is playing at a high level after age 35 almost rare in every single sport? I wonder why. And LeBron James has scored 45 or more points six different times since turning 35, which is the same amount that Steph Curry and Michael Jordan have combined. And nobody else in NBA history has ever done it more than once, including Kobe Bean Bryant. And if you take away every single free throw and three-point shot that LeBron has made, he would still be ahead of Kevin Durant on the all-time scoring list. And now my second point. If LeBron James was just stat padding, surely he'd be amongst the league's leaders in field goal attempts, right? Nah, because at the time of this recording, he's 17th. And of everybody in the top 25, he's tied for fourth in field goal percentage. And he's fourth in assists. Here's a question for you. How many hyper-efficient, pass-first players do you know that can be confused for stat-padding ball hawks? None. Do you know that if you look at the most shots ever taken in an NBA season, LeBron James won't be found in the top 50 on that list? And the only season he was in the top 40 all-time was back in 2006. And for the point that all the haters are making about these milestones keep happening and losses, what are you supposed to do? Not acknowledge it until the team's next win? Did anybody have a problem with David Stern literally stopping play to acknowledge Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he passed Wilt Chamberlain back in 1984? Nope, didn't say a word. At some point, you're going to have to deal with the fact that the man who won the genetic lottery then went to lengths that we've never seen before to keep himself in elite competitive shape longer than any basketball player in history. He's one of one, even if he's not the one of one that you like. And you know what's going to happen in about a decade, two decades? All y'all haters are going to be reminiscing about the good old days with LeBron James, like they do with Kobe, Jordan, Magic, and Bird. And that's the Unafraid Show. Make sure that you come back next week. Like, subscribe, get notifications, and most importantly, share the show so we can keep bringing you dope content. I'll catch you next week.
365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.